Otherwise, we'll try to slander one another and sabotage. And because we're Christians, we can't go and beat people up physically. So what we do is we beat people up with our words. And we think that's okay. I know something about Bill you don't know. Really? Well, I was thinking about doing some business with him. Oh, I know some stuff about him. All I can say is this. If you start getting involved with him, you just better watch your back. Just no go sleep at night. That's all I gotta say.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, Pastor Wayne has a message that will make you ask yourself some serious questions, questions that can affect your relationship with God and with those around about you. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Living in His Presence.
Would you take out your notes as we talk about learning to live in God's presence? By the way, it's great to be back from Japan. You know, one of the things I like about Japan, though, when I walk around Japan, I feel like I'm a basketball player. That's right. Not all the Japanese, you know, real small, choke Japanese in Japan, choke every place. That make me feel good. I go, Ohayou gozaimasu. And Pastor Talo, you know, he's a pastor of New Hope, Tokyo, and he's a Samoan. So this guy is big. They think he's a sumo wrestler, you know, Akebono or something. But their measurements are all messed up over in Japan. They drive on the wrong side of the road because the steering wheel's on the wrong side of the car. And then everything is measured differently. You know, when they weigh you, it's in kilograms. And when they measure the distance, it's in kilometers or speed. It's all these kilometers. And then the temperature is centigrade. So the other morning they said, oh, it's like 24 degrees centigrade today. I thought, centipedes? Which centipedes? Well, how many? 24 centipedes. Yeah, it's everything's different. And then we're used to the Hawaii portions of food over here. When they give you food, it's like they give you food. Over there, they give you this plate and they give you like one ume, you know, one grain rice, one blade of kimchi, and there's little small kind fish, one fish, that's all, about this big. And then they give you chopsticks to eat it with, so it takes you an hour, makes you feel like you ate plenty. It's amazing. You know, as I travel around the world, I find that people measure things very differently. They have different ways of measuring. And even in the church, I notice that we measure things differently. And one of the things that seems to be so many measuring sticks to is the presence of God. Some people think the presence of God is, you know, if you're like this, then you really got the presence of God. You know, some people say, if you go to church all the time, whenever the church doors are open, if you're in church, then man, that guy, he got the presence of God. On the other hand, it could be completely the opposite. As in Hilo, a guy, my neighbor was someone that's very, very nominal Christian. And I, being a pastor, am always going to church. So he sees me with my Bible getting into my car. And one day he was raking leaves next to a fence that borders our property. And it's only about 3 feet tall, so he can look over it. And he saw me, and he yelled at me. He said, hey, father. He's calling me father. Hey, father. Yes, son. He said, hey, where are you going? Church again. I said, yeah, we're going to church. He said, what kind of church you got? All the time I see you go to church. I said, yeah, it's a church right up here, New Hope Christian Fellowship. He said, what kind of church is that? You have to go. How many times you go to church anyway every week? How many times this week? I count them up. I said, I went to church 8 times. He said, 8 times. I said, yeah, 8 times. He said, you must be pretty bad if I have to go 8 times every week. He said, I just go 2 times a year, Christmas, Easter, enough. You know, we measure the presence of God so differently. Some, as often as you go to church, yeah, it makes more the presence. You got the presence. Others say, no, if you go that many times, you don't have the presence of God. Measuring sticks are very different. Others feel that if you're, you know, holy, you got to have all these little things like Anne and I, you know, in your dresser or your car, like these little icons. We were driving down Kapiolani Street the other day. True story, on this dash, I pull up next to this guy's lowrider car at the light. He must have had like 9 little statues all glued to his dash. He had Mother Mary, he had Joseph. I think he had the nativity scene, I think. I don't know. And he had all these St. Christopher, the patron saint of, you know, safety. He had St. Dominic, no relation to ours. And then St. Bernard, I think he is related to that one. And so all of these different things. Must have had like 9 statues on his dash. And I said to my wife, I said, honey, look, that guy, he get that presence. See that presence. You know, it's just so funny the way we measure the presence of God. Others feel like you have to be so holy. You got to walk around with your nose, high nose, ladies, you know, look at people. Just... You know, you got to be real holy, like you're on drugs or something. And you can't laugh. You can't laugh. That's the thing, you know. It's like God is in heaven and looking, hey, Peter, look, Wayne, he's laughing. No laughing. You know, last week when we showed the Chansom video, you know, I tell you, we had a person call and they said, you know, after seeing that video, I think New Hope is falling away from the Lord. Oh, you know, that kind of stuff you shouldn't be doing. It's just, you know, you can't be just playing like that. And I thought, well, wait a minute, come on. You know, what would you rather have? This mediocre way of just announcing stuff, you know, like just a talking head. We try to be creative so that it gets people's attention and causes some laughter and you remember a little bit more. Otherwise, you know, just a little camera, you know, NHI golf tournament this week, call man. Oh, that's real holy. That's real holy. You know, we tell people, the creator of the universe lives within us as Christians. The one who flung the stars in space and caused them to sparkle for eternity. The one who paints the cyclorama of the sky azure blue and then at nighttime, right before it gets dark, he spills orange and yellows and reds for the sunset to greet us as we go into the evening. And then the next morning, he spills light on the mountains of the Koolaus that rise majestically to the sky in greens and hues of haze. And then he causes the waves to roll in with a crest of white. The God who creates and paints that lives within us. Come our church. And we go to that church and it's the most boring place that we've ever seen. The most uncreative places in the world are most churches. Do you understand the inconsistent message that we give without realizing it? We think that's really holy. It ain't. It ain't. And you know, I was thinking, you know, the Chansom video. I mean, what people call, don't do that. Don't do that. Just because there's that wig, you know, and that funny teeth and stuff, let me assure you, Pastor Elwin loves God with all his heart. Let's read the scripture at the top. We're starting to degenerate here. Let's read it. And I want you to see how his presence is defined. Ready? Go. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. What is linked to the presence of God? Joy and pleasures. Now, not a negative kind of pleasure, but positive, integrous kind of pleasure. Something that says it's wonderful to be in God's presence. And there is a freedom to be able to laugh. There's a freedom to able to be expressing this kind of joy. And not, I'm not talking about flippant, weird kind that's sickly, but a healthy kind of joy that says, I love being in God's presence. There's a sense of freedom and we can be creative. We do this because we love God and we're trying to be as creative as we can be. Why be boring in life? We're going to come through this life once. And why just kind of go through it like a mud stick? Let's just go through it with some joy and put some fluorescent and neon paints on. Like, paint your future with the same paints that God is using. He's using neons. Don't use drab grays and think it's holy. And God is saying the presence of the Lord has a measure of joy with it and a measure of pleasure with it. And so how do you measure whether or not you're living in the presence of God? How do you do that? There's so many different ways. What would remind us of that? And God wants to remind us daily that we are in his presence. Now, the question is not whether or not God is with us. The Bible says, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. So God is with us. The question is, are we with him? The question is not that we want to address today, does God speak to us? The question we want to address is, are we a listening people when he speaks? Because you see, he's always with us. But if I don't recognize his presence, if I reject his presence, then there's something that goes awry, something that goes bitter, something that ends up in a dead end. How do we get reminded of the fact that we're in his presence? For example, right now, I want to remind you and announce to you that you're in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords right now. The healer is in the house. The great physician, the one who forgives, And the one that can change your eternity forever is right here with us. And when you are made cognizant of that, it changes the way you think, doesn't it? It changes, it even ignites your faith. Because, oh. And what we want to talk about is how are we reminded that His presence is with us? You know, I remember a negative illustration and a positive of that. I remember when in the 70s, when it was right at the height of the hippie movement. And you had all these hippies all over the place. And we wore tie-dye t-shirts, you know, and we actually did our own tie-dyeing. And we'd have all of these different designs, long hair, and peace. Everything was peace. And the peace sign. And one of the things, though, I think that was the worst was the stuff that a lot of them would use called patchouli oil. Now, this stuff made you smell like you took a bath and soaked in diesel for a day or so. You're marinated in that stuff, and it just smelled so bad. But, you know, how many of you remember patchouli oil? Raise your hand. Yeah. I won't ask how many of you wore it. But it just smells. It reeks. And there's this one lady, and I just became a Christian. This was a large, large lady, and she just wore a lot of this stuff. And, I mean, you could smell her, like, from the next town if she's coming in. The wind was right. Yeah, here she'll be coming in a day or two. You know, that stuff was strong. And so when she'd see me in church, she'd come up and she would, you know, hug, engulf me. And I would disappear. And then when she would let go, she'd transfer that odor to me. And so now she then transformed me into a walking human stink bomb. And all day long, it's, oh, wow, oh, you know. And now... On the other, and I'd be reminded of her all day long. On the other hand, my wife wears really nice perfume. And so she'll come up to me and she'll give me a hug and kissy licky, you know. And when she then departs, some of her perfume remains on me and I'm reminded of my wonderful wife. So romantic, no? And you know what, in the same way, the Lord is saying, I want you to be reminded of my presence all day long. That there's a touch of eternity on your life. There's a touch of the divine. And somehow, if you'll be reminded of that all day long, the fragrance of our fellowship will be sweet and it'll change the way you think. I want to remind you of my presence. How do we learn to live in His presence? Well, let me give you three measuring sticks as to how you can determine how we're doing in that. Now remember, the greatest commandment of all in the Bible is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And then it says, and the second is like unto it. You shall what? Love your neighbor as yourself. So what God is saying is, I want you to love the Lord vertically 100%. Yet that's kind of subjective. I mean, how do you show that? I can't see God, you know, and so it's sort of subjective. It's a judgment call. Well, the Lord says, well, you want to know how you're doing vertically? Yeah. The second commandment is like unto the first. So if you check the second commandment, it'll tell you how you're doing in the first, because it's like the first. Huh? Yeah. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, what do you mean? Well, you see, if you want to see if you're really loving God, ask yourself, measure how you're doing with the people that you can see. Because that is like unto the first. That's a barometer. It's a litmus test of how you're doing here. Otherwise, we can be religious vertically, but we're not really learning to live in His presence if it doesn't connect horizontally. We're going to read the 21st verse of 1 John chapter 4, but prior to that, let me bump up and read to you the 20th verse, and you'll see what I mean, and then we'll fill in the blank. Here's what the 20th verse says. Listen to this. If someone says, I love God, but he hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. So God is saying, how are you doing? Because one of the measuring sticks about whether or not I'm learning to live in his presence, would you write in number one? Ask yourself, how are my relationships doing? Do I have genuine and healthy relationships? Would you write that in? Healthy, genuine relationships. How are we doing that way? Let's read what the scripture says in the 21st verse now, 1 John 4. Ready? Go. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. So in other words, we cannot see God, but we can see our brothers. So if I want to love God who I cannot see, start by loving the ones that I can see. Because the second is like unto the first. So you can measure how you're doing. Question is, how are we doing? Now, some people say, you know, Wayne, I hear about this love stuff, but you know, I tell you, are you saying that we got to have like good relationships with everybody? Because I've got some people that just, they don't like me. And do I got to placate them? Do I have to sort of just, you know, be like a petting zoo in life, just go around and please everybody? It'll just make things kind of bad, weird. I mean, no, God's not saying that. If you do that, then we will be a man pleaser. That's all we'll be doing, is trying to please everybody. And God is saying no. What he is saying is this. He's saying, as far as it depends on you, if there is a disagreement of some kind or an offense, do everything you can to make sure that on your part, you have made reconciliation. There will be some people that'll shut their door to you. But as for you, you must keep yours open to them and not retaliate and sabotage back and forth. Because there will be some that will disagree with you. I mean, there's some people that don't like me. I cannot fathom how they would not like moi. Such a wonderful person. And I got news for you. There's some people that disagree with you. I know it's hard for you to receive, but that's true. There's just going to be some people that don't like you. Doesn't matter what you do. However, do we have to go and placate everybody? No, what God is saying is, when there is an offense, do everything you can to make sure that apologies are given, forgiveness is given, you ask for forgiveness, you do your very best to reconcile. Now, whether they receive it or not, that's up to them. They can toss it in the trash can, but you must do your part. And when that is done, then the Lord says, all right, now you understand. Because remember, some will shut their door to you, but you must keep your door open to them. And that's what the prodigal son's father did. Remember when his son said, hey, I want my inheritance. Half of now what the father had in his bank account was then given to one son. The other was to be given to the elder brother. So one half was given to that son, who then summarily rejects his father's relationship and takes that money and squanders it within a couple weeks' time, completely gone. In a short season, he's completely annihilated his father's half of his fortune. Now, he rejected his father's relationship. He shut his door on his father. However, do you remember when he started to make his way back? The Bible says, and when he returned, his father, seeing him a long ways off, while he was still a long ways off, his father, what? Ran to him and hugged him and put a ring on his finger. You see, although that son had shut the door to his father kept it open to him. And that way, there was a way home. And what God is saying is, there's some people that'll shut their door on you. Yeah, that's just life. But keep yours open to them. And then you're understanding what it means to be a person who's learning to live in the presence of God. Otherwise, if you do the same, then there's going to be retaliation back and forth. Let's read what the scripture says in Romans 12, 18. Ready? Go. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. As far as it depends on what? You. Keep yours open. Otherwise, we'll try to slander one another and sabotage. And because we're Christians, we can't go and beat people up physically. So what we do is we beat people up with our words. And we think that's okay. And we beat them up with our slander and our sabotage. We do that. Someone will offend you, you know, and so they'll say, hey, do you know old Bill over there? And yeah, I know Bill. Yeah, I was going to buy a car from him. Ho, ho, ho. I know something about Bill you don't know. Really? Yeah, if you buy a car from him, I mean, it's up to you. Well, I was thinking about doing some business with him. Oh, well, what's wrong with that? Oh, I know some stuff about him. All I can say is this. If you start getting involved with him, you just better watch your back. Just no go sleep at night. That's all I got to say. We do that all the time to just sabotage one another, and that's the way we get back. I remember there was a time a guy had done something, and it was just a real disheartening thing, and he knew it. It was something that he had taken advantage, and And later on, he's a piano player. And later on, a guy came and said, let's just call him Joe. And Joe said, hey, did you know that Bill is starting a music group? I said, oh. And inside, I said, you want to know about Bill? I'll tell you about Bill. And the Lord said, don't say anything. So I said to Joe, you know, he's a great piano player. Yeah, he's starting a group. I'm thinking about getting involved. He asked me if I would play drums. I said, oh, that's good. You know, he's an excellent musician and a great piano player. And if you get involved with him, your group is going to do really well. I look forward to the wonderful music that you guys would be playing. You know, and inside my flesh is saying, don't say that. Tell him the truth. Tell him what a punk he is. And he said, shit, quiet. And then you keep talking. And you know, after a while, this is what happened. After a couple months, I get a call from this guy, from Bill. And he said, hey, Joe is our drummer. I said, oh, yeah, I talked to him. Yeah, I know. And hey, Wayne, I just want you to know that I really appreciate your commendation and how you recommended our group to him. And that's why he's playing drums for us. I said, oh, really? And by the way, Wayne, hey, you know what happened last year? Oh, what happened last year? Yeah, anyway, hey, I'm really sorry. Hey, no problem. Ooh. And you know, the Lord said to me, when you keep your door open, I'll take care of him. You just make sure, as far as it depends on you, things are okay. And don't keep sabotaging. Make sure it's okay. And you know what? I will use that to turn a heart if you'll cooperate with the ways of God and learn to live in my presence. Big lesson for me. Big lesson. Now, but it is true, when you sabotage one another, isn't it true it always backlashes on you if you do something? It'll always come back. And man, I've done that before. And it's always come back and just backlash. It just backfires every time. Like a husband and wife, they were getting so mad at one another and they were yelling and screaming and getting upset. So finally the husband said, that's it. I'm not going to talk to you no more. She said, good. I don't want to hear your voice no more. That's right. That's it. You're not going to hear me anymore. Finished. I'm not going to say anything. Zip, 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 pow. She said, good. I'm not going to talk to you either. Zip, 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 zip to you. And so they stopped talking to one another in the same house. They wouldn't talk. One day, 2 days, 3 days, they say nothing. But no one wanted to break the silence. The husband had too much pride and arrogance. I'm not going to break the silence. She's going to break them first. And the wife said, no, because that'll say that I was wrong. So I'm not going to do that. So both of them were just stubborn and obstinate. And so by the third, fourth day, still silent. And then the husband about to go to bed. His wife was still down in the kitchen. He remembered, oh, I got to get up tomorrow at 5 a.m. to catch a plane. Oh, man. So I'm not going to tell her, wake me up. I'm not going to zip, zip, zip. I'm going to stay quiet. So instead, he goes onto the bathroom counter and he writes his big note, wake me up at 5 o'clock, and leaves it there. So the next morning, he gets up, poof, 9 o'clock in the morning. 9 o'clock, where's that wife of mine? She already went to work. Oh, I'm so mad at her. I call her, wake me up. What's the matter with her? And he walks into the bathroom and she had written a note. It's 5 o'clock, get up. It doesn't work. Can't sabotage one another. That's what gives us our second point. Deal with sin promptly. Would you write that in? Deal promptly with sin. Don't let it just hang around. Don't let it just kind of ferment within you. Deal promptly, because that's one of the signs or measuring sticks of whether or not we're living in the presence of God. You see, sin is rejecting God's ways or going one way when God says to go another. Jonah did that. God said to Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. Tarshish now is on the other end of the spectrum. So instead of going to Nineveh, he catches a boat and goes the other way. But it talks about the presence of the Lord when we tolerate sin. Let's see what it says. Ready? Go. The word of the Lord came to Jonah saying, arise, go to Nineveh. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish away from the presence of the... Oh. Away from the presence of the Lord. You see, sin is choosing to go one way when God has asked you to go another. Have you ever done that? When God says, don't say that, we say it anyway. God says, leave that for another time. Oh, no, I don't want it now. God, don't buy that. I buy it anyway. Have you ever done that? You see, there's a little bit of Jonah in every single one of us, isn't there?
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Living in His Presence by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Words of New Hope is heard each day at this time and sponsored by New Hope Christian Fellowship, Oahu. Thank you for listening, and please tell a friend. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Dill Gibbs wishing you a great day and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.